This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by no one. This show relies on the generous contributions of listeners like you. For just $30 a day, you can help us share astronomy with the world. Please consider donating at 365daysofastronomy.org.
You are listening to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
Year 3!
Enough with the theme. Let's get to it, shall we? The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast starts now.
We're the Ask an Astronomer team at Cornell University. The Ask an Astronomer service has been staffed by the Cornell Astronomy Department's grad students since 1997, answering questions submitted by the public on any topic in astronomy, from planets to galaxies to careers. Now we're trying our hand at making podcasts. If you like what you hear, we hope you'll subscribe to the Ask an Astronomer at Cornell podcast through iTunes, or you can visit us at our website, curious.astro.cornell.edu. For our contribution to 365 Days of Astronomy, here's a segment from our upcoming podcast, entitled Astronomers Are People Too. Astronomers come from all over the world and from a variety of different backgrounds. While the astronomical community certainly is diverse, it's unfortunately not nearly as diverse as it could be. This is a situation we would like to change, but doing that means learning what's actually going on to cause this problem. Today I'm speaking with my co-host, Betsy Adams, about this issue. We're also joined by Kevin Covey, who is a NASA Hubble Fellow here in the Department of Astronomy. So welcome, Kevin, and thanks for taking the time to sit down with us today. To get us started, Kevin and Betsy, we've brought up this idea of diversity in astronomy. To start off, could you help our audience get up to speed on what the numbers and the situation actually look like?
Sure. So most of what I know about the statistics of the demographics of the field have to do with the U.S. in particular. And so that's the statistics I know best. And they, of course, vary somewhat depending on which country you're looking at. But here in the U.S., there have been a number of studies that have been done looking at the representation of various groups of people within practicing scientists as compared to the broader public. And so folks have looked at things like the number of PhDs awarded to groups like women or groups of underrepresented minorities, either ethnic minorities or first-generation college students. And what they've typically found is that there's at least a factor of two difference between the representation of those groups in the broader public as compared to folks who are practicing in science as measured by, for instance, having a PhD.
Just to clarify what that means, if you were to base your expectation of how many astronomers should fall into different groups, you're finding that there are half as many as there are in the general public?
Well, that's unfortunately the good end. So for instance, for women, people have, and this is a tough game because you have to balance the age group that you're looking at in terms of the scientific production and the age group in the broader public. But the way people have done this, for instance, is to compare the number of, thinking about astronomy in particular, the number of astro PhDs earned from, say, 1996 to 2005, and compared that to the number of people who graduated with a bachelor's degree in science within the same amount of time or within that age group. And so, for instance, women received about 23% of the astronomy PhDs in that period between 1996 to 2005, and they make up, something like half the U.S. population. For ethnic minorities, it's actually significantly worse, right? We think that African Americans and Hispanics make up something like 20% of the U.S. population, but they received only less than 4% of the PhDs during that same period. So there's a very large gap for those groups, and also for first-generation college students. It's also like a factor of two difference.
So we're definitely looking at pretty stark differences. Betsy, I know for you, the issue of women in astronomy in particular is an issue that is near and dear to your heart, as it is to mine. Would you like to share a little bit of the statistics on women in particular?
So the statistics are similar to what Kevin said. So the example I had was a snapshot from 2009. The number of PhDs granted, about 30% of them in astronomy went to women. And you look at the fact that about 50% of the population is women, you can see that there's a clear discrepancy there. For me, I often think of it more anecdotally. For example, I'm sitting in on a graduate course in astronomy right now, and I am the only woman in the class. And that's been a common experience for me, that both as an undergrad taking physics courses and now as a graduate student, I've often been the only or one of the only women in the room.
We'll talk about underlying causes in a little bit. But one of the issues that has been looked at is that question of not having role models. And that's true for all of the groups that we're speaking about today. One question that often comes up at the very beginning of this discussion is, why is this a problem? Why does it matter to you? And why do you think it matters to the field of astronomy?
So clearly, as we've talked about, there is a discrepancy in the representation of women and underrepresented minorities in astronomy. And you might just say, well, as long as astronomy is doing well, who cares? But we're missing out on a whole portion of the population who doesn't have the same opportunities and who contribute new ideas, new ways of thinking about things to problems. But they're not, as we'll talk about this a little bit, a large part of the issue is they don't have the same opportunity to become involved in astronomy. So astronomy is missing out on this portion of the population that could be have really brilliant ideas and revolutionize the field, but it's not accessible to them.
Yeah, I mean, we're missing out on very, very bright scientists who, by virtue of their background, have not made it into what we often speak about as the science pipeline. And so that really has a concrete impact on the quality of the science we do. And more broadly speaking, this has kind of ramifications because science, technology, and engineering are all technical fields which suffer from this problem. And they're critically important in today's economy. These problems, which are not just specific to astronomy, have large ramifications for America's economic competitiveness going forward. These fields make up a large portion of what we expect to be growth industries in the future. And if you look at demographic trends in the U.S., if we're not able to ensure that we're getting the full participation of everyone, all the citizens that we have in the country, then we're actually going to start lagging peer nations, and that's going to have very big ramifications.
So one part of trying to find solutions is understanding where a problem is actually originating. Do we have any ideas about what's causing this lack of diversity and participation, either specifically in astronomy, but also more broadly in science and technology fields?
I think people have a lot of different ideas about where the problem starts. So Kevin mentioned earlier the phrase the science pipeline, and what we often talk about in reference to this problem is the leaky pipeline. So the idea is that you start off sort of at the youngest age and you have a representative population in K through 12 schools. But as you go along, you start to lose women and underrepresented minorities. And it can happen starting very early that there are sort of unconscious biases or people are educated to believe that, oh, girls aren't as good at math. So by the time you get to high school, where you're starting to elect courses to take, women and underrepresented minorities aren't taking as many science and math courses. And then you get to the university level, at an undergraduate level, you have a smaller percentage doing degrees in science and technology and engineering, and you just keep going on, and then you get to graduate school, and then you get to staying in science. And the idea, the leaky pipeline just refers to the fact that you're consecutively losing more and more women and underrepresented minorities.
One of the things you mentioned I think is particularly important, this idea that if you are not in high school taking the prerequisite math and science courses that you would need to major in a field like that, you've already at a very young age selected yourself out of that leaky pipeline. And that would make it very difficult for you to get back in, even if your interests change or even if you do run into a fantastic role model or mentor who helps you out and puts you on that path.
Yeah, that's a very important issue. And so a lot of the folks who are trying to address this issue are definitely trying to take a holistic approach and understand that there's many leaks at many levels along the pipeline, and that to really succeed at improving the situation and getting the best science that we can by tapping into the science talent, we're going to have to address those leaks at a variety of levels.
I want to wrap up today on an optimistic note, looking forward. I wanted to ask both of you what you think about addressing this issue and trying to make changes in the astronomical community so that we can change the face of astronomy to reflect the face of America.
Sure. So one of the important things is actually just sensitizing the community to the idea that these issues exist, and to help build a stronger sense of understanding of the issues and of how to help students from every background actually build the support networks that they're going to need to persist and overcome the challenges they face along the way to becoming a practicing scientist. I mean, this is the flip side of the fact that the challenges that underrepresented groups face aren't necessarily particular just to those groups, that they affect a broad swath, which actually means that if we address those issues, it'll benefit those groups the most, but it actually benefits folks like me as well. And it makes the astronomical and all scientific communities much more welcoming.
I think we're doing a good job in astronomy of talking about this issue. There's committees for the National Astronomical Society, both on the status of women and the status of minorities, and just having a discussion about it and bringing up and reminding people this is a problem and we need to work on it is very helpful. And in fact, there have been studies that have shown that if you just talk about it and remind people when you're doing admissions to graduate school or looking for a new faculty hire, reminding people that there are these problems and they might have unconscious bias against women or underrepresented minorities goes a long way toward overcoming those issues and helping increase representation.
Thank you, Betsy and Kevin, for sitting down and making our podcast audience aware of this very serious issue in astronomy. The Curious Ask an Astronomer website can be found at curious.astro.cornell.edu. Ask an Astronomer is run by volunteer graduate students at Cornell University. Our theme music has been provided by Mevio's Music Alley. The theme music was composed by Alexi Nove.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Cool.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until next time, goodbye!